Scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13, 14. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done with love.
Good morning, everyone. I just want to wish all of you a wonderful Sunday morning, and especially that we're here to worship and sing praises to our Lord. And if you're visiting with us from out of town, it's our pleasure that you're visiting with us, and we hope that the things that we do and say here, you will find that we are trying to go by what the first century Christians did in the New Testament. And I also want to thank Brother Terry and Brother Farron for giving me this opportunity to fill in for Brother Farron while him and his family are on vacation. And I really appreciate that. If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Get into the lesson, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Again, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for everything. Thank you for being our Heavenly Father. And Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you loved us so much that you allowed your Son to be our Savior. We thank you that through his blood that we can have our son have our sins continuously blessed. And Heavenly Father, forgive those that may have sinned against us, and we pray that you will forgive us of our sins. And Heavenly Father, we pray that that you will give us patience. And as we study more of your word, we pray that we'll be ready to help lead others to you through your Son, Jesus. This is our prayer in your Son's name. Amen. Right, our text this morning comes from Brother Randy just read to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. It says, and this is the New King James Version, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you have done be with love. Now, you know, there's different translations, you know, King James Version. But I like how the New International Version states this. And I know for 40 years that there's challenges with the NIV. But I think that, you know, we can look at some of these other translations too, so we can get a good context. Although I do prefer the New King James Version, but in the NIV, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 13 says, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything in love." Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything in love. And for the next few minutes, I want to go over these five things that the Apostle Paul is telling the people, the Christians in Corinth, in his first epistle to them. We're going to take each of these 5 points: being on our guard, standing firm in our faith, being courageous, being strong, and doing everything in love. Doing everything in love. But first of all, as we get into this, raise your hand if you love Jesus. Okay, raise your hand if Jesus loves you. Okay, you're in the right place. Okay, you're in the right place. And so I just wanted to see if everybody was listening. That's good. Amen, amen. So let's take this first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in verse 13. It says, "Be on your guard." And again, I'm using the words in NIV because in this particular verse, I like the word choice. And so you know, First Peter chapter 5 verses 8 through 9 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So if you're on guard, what are you doing? You're constantly looking around. You're seeing if there's any danger. If you ever watch some of these National Geographic films, you notice that in the wild, you will have animals that they're constantly on guard, or at least most of them, because they know that they're predators like lions that are going to get them. And usually they find that, if they're vigilant and look around, they're not going to be harmed. But it's usually the ones that get isolated from the group, that's the ones that the lions usually target. And so just like, and we can relate that to being a Christian, as these animals, they find that their strength in numbers will, their strength among other Christians, if we feel like that, we can do things on our own, or, I just go to a church on Sundays, and other than that, I don't need to fellowship with anybody from my local congregation. And so that's when we become vulnerable to all of the vices that are out in the world today. The lions, the wolves, or the bears, if you will. If you study, back in the Old Testament, especially David, trying to guard his sheep. And so before we know it, Satan has us. So, just as the animals, they find that their strength in numbers to protect them against such predators as lions, we should do the very same thing. We should think about it. In our daily lives, we're careful where we walk. We're careful when we go up the steps, down the steps. So we need to make sure that we're always watchful. If you're familiar with the United States Secret Service, one of their main jobs is to go after counterfeiters, and their other job is to protect the president and other top officials in our American government. And if you ever watch the president making a speech, you will notice that there's Secret Service agents, special agents, in front of them. And are they looking at him or so? Are they looking at their wireless phone? No, they're looking at the crowd. They're constantly looking. We should emulate that as Christians. Again, to be vigilant, okay? Be on our guard, because, 99% of the time we could be on our guard, but it could be that 1% where we're not on guard, and that's when Satan gets a hold of us. So we need to be sober, be vigilant, because, again, our adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion. And so be on your guard. Let's be on our guard. Okay, and secondly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. And again, if we go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, okay, resist the devil. Resist him, the devil, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. So we're Christians that meet here at Dawson Road, but there's other congregations in the area, in our part of the country, around the country, and around the world, and they experience some of the same challenges that we do. And let's think about, there's Christians in other parts of the world that they are really having a time in it, just like the apostles. Look at the Apostle Paul. We were talking about Apostle Paul in Athens in our Bible class just a few minutes ago, and made the comment, do you think that the Apostle Paul, after he became a Christian, was there any day that he felt like nobody was trying to harm him, put him in jail, or kill him? Imagine if we had to face that on a day-to-day basis. That would really, test our faith. So we got to stand firm in the faith. And let's look quickly at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. This is the Apostle Paul's second letter to Timothy. He says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, and also chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, Apostle Paul tells Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that's how we stand firm in the faith, that we've got to do our homework, just as we're in primary school, secondary school, some of us in college. In order to pass the classes, we had to study. Well, the Lord expects us to study His Word. And just study it to improve ourselves. Well, not only that, but to share it with others. Share it with others. So let's stand firm in the faith. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, Jesus talks about faith, and he uses, as he did so often, in illustrations. And so is our faith, is it built on sand? Is it built on sand or is it built on rock? Think about that when you're standing firm. Can you stand firm if your faith is built on sand? I don't think so. But if our faith is built on a rock, then we can stand firm in faith. Now, let's go to the third point in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And this would be courageous. Be courageous. Okay? Be courageous. Now, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of spiders? Are you afraid of driving, especially here in town lately or so? And are you afraid of crossing bridges? Some people are. Are you afraid of lions? You know, we were just talking about lions just a couple of minutes ago. Are you afraid of being afraid? So, you know, that's natural to be afraid. And if we look at, if we go back and read Hebrews chapter 11, the Hebrew writer talks about people of faith, especially in the Old Testament. And we can think of some people who had extraordinary circumstances that they were going through, and they were in leadership positions, but they showed tremendous courage, like Noah. God instructed him to build a big ark, and told him, "Yeah, there's going to be a flood." And Noah tried to tell the people of his generation, you know, or of his time, that, hey, a big flood is coming. You know, if you want to, you can help me build this, and then your family can come in and be saved. And but did they listen to him? Only his three sons, their wives, and his wife, and they were saved. And of course, you know, the bravery of David, Daniel in the lion's den, Esther, Stephen, Peter, Paul, and the other apostles. And, of course, Jesus himself, of course, Jesus himself, when he was dying on the cross, he showed a great courage, because instead of, you know, just giving up the ghost, you know, just for his sake, he maintained himself, his composure for us. Plus, he also forgave those that were crucifying him. And Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, the Apostle Paul tells the Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? And in his letter to the Ephesians, Apostle Paul in chapter 6 outlines the armor of God, the armor of God, that in order to face all of these challenges, we need to put on the armor of God. And Franklin Roosevelt, when he during his first inaugural address on March 4th, 1933, he told our parents, our grandparents, great-grandparents, that the only fear we have is fear itself. The only fear we have is fear itself. So with the faith in God, in the love of Jesus, we need to be courageous. We need to be courageous, not only for ourselves, but it encourages others. It encourages others to be courageous. Be courageous. And next, let's look at the fourth point in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, this time in verse 14. Let's be strong. Let's be strong. Now, how do you stay strong? How do you stay healthy? Do you run? Do you do pull-ups or jumping jacks? Do you lift weights? Do you lift this weight? Okay, how many times a day or any time of the day do you perform spiritual gymnastics? So we need to read the Bible. That's God's holy, inspired word. We need to apply God's word in our lives, and we need to share God's word with others. And again, going back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 2 Timothy chapter 3, we need to study the word so we can be strong. We can be strong. We can be strong. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And it says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You might be the strongest person on your block or so, or strongest person in town, but sometimes strength can be in the fact that we forgive people. We forgive people. That could be the toughest thing of all, when we feel somebody has done us wrong, forgive them. Or forgiving ourselves. So let's think about that. Let's think about that. So let's stay strong. Let's stay strong. And also, in a good way to stay strong is to exercise our faith. And how can we exercise our faith? We can walk with God. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about walking in love, walking in the light, and walking in wisdom. Walking in love, walking in light, and walking in wisdom. So let's make sure that we exercise our faith by walking with God. We've got the greatest walking partner in the world. And so let's think about that. And also, this is found in Galatians chapter 5 as well. So let's exercise our faith. Now, the last point, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and this is in verse 14, is to do everything in love. Do everything in love. Jesus said, By your love to each other, they'll know you are my disciples. By your love to each other, they'll know you are my disciples. John chapter 13, verse 35. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, the Apostle Paul tells the people of Colossae, he tells them about love. And maybe not so much this morning that before you left your homes to come to worship service, that you could had it, that you put on your coat. Probably later on this week you might need a coat. But Apostle Paul says, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. When you left home this morning, did you put on love? Did you put on love? Let's think about that. The Apostle Paul encourages us to put on love. Put on love. And in fact, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he spends 13 verses talking about love. Love not only for God through his son Jesus, but also for ourselves, also for all our neighbors, all the people of our community. And how can we love them? By telling them about Jesus, telling them that this is the life to be lived. And so walking in Christ, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verses 13 and 14, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. Now, as Christians, we can benefit from the mercy of God. But if we're not, now we may believe in God, but if we're not Christians, then we can't totally enjoy his mercy. And so it's important, it's imperative that you, that if you're not a Christian today, that you don't leave this assembly without putting on Christ. You've got to hear the gospel of Jesus in Rome, and we've got an example of that, hearing that in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, and hopefully you've been hearing the gospel in the last few minutes. And you've got to believe in all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John chapter 8, verse 25. And you've got to repent of your sins, Acts chapter 17, verse 30. You've got to make a 180-degree turn, not a 360-degree turn. That means that you're right back in your sinful way. You've got to turn around and start living for God instead of for yourself or Satan. And then confess the name of Jesus to others. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. And in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, and there's examples of when they were preached and told the gospel, they were immediately baptized. Acts chapter 16, as a matter of fact, the Philippian jailer, when he heard the gospel, he was baptized. Now, but once we become Christians, you know, we can start living for the Lord, but that would be the first day of the rest of our lives, because this is not the end. It's only the beginning of our Christian life. We must, again, study to show ourselves approved unto God, and also to learn how to live a life in which people will know that we are Christians. And with that, hopefully, we can have an eternal life with Jesus and God. So remember that God loves you because he sent his son Jesus for us, for our sins. And remember 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Again, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. But these are just the basics of being a Christian. Just the basics for being a Christian. But thankfully, we have these. And if there's any of you that has a need, if you're a Christian and somehow you fell by the wayside or you feel like you're just not living a faithful life, come and get that taken care of. And we'll be praying for you, and we'll be pulling for you. We'll be pulling for you. And if you're not a Christian, please, please, don't leave the assembly today by not being a Christian, because you can't, as I said earlier, you can't enjoy the full measure of God's love unless you totally obey him. And the Lord expects us to obey. So if you have any need, please come forward as we sing our invitation song.